You're listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Heartland Politics show and podcast, which is aired on and distributed by WVIK Quad Cities NPR. WVIK is the flagship public radio station in the Quad Cities region of northwestern Illinois and eastern Iowa. I'm your host, Robin Johnson, and today I'm very pleased to have on a guest who heads up an important agency in the state of Illinois, perhaps an obscure agency that maybe you haven't heard of, but I think it's very important, and I think you'll be glad to hear this person's qualifications and background, and that he is the perfect person to head this. His name is Mike McCuskey, and I will say in full disclosure, he's a friend of mine going way back. Mike is a former judge at the local level, the state appellate level, and he was also a federal district court judge. He's been named to head up the Legislative Inspector General's office in Illinois. And just right now, you're all thinking, boy, we need that because of some of the issues we've had in this state. We're going to talk a little bit about what he does, describe the office more clearly, and ways in which people can participate if they have some things that may need his attention. Mike, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Well, thank you for having me, Robin.
This is a relatively new agency, so we're going to go slow here and perform an educational function for our listeners, but just talk a little bit about what the agency is and what it does.
All 50 states have a legislative inspector general. And our state made that in December 9th, 2003, when they passed the State Officials and Employees Ethics Act, creating the Office of the Illinois Legislative Inspector General. And down here in Springfield, they either call you General or LIG, L-I-G. Everything's got an acronym down here in Springfield where I'm speaking to you from today. There's also another statute that is the Illinois Governmental Ethics Act. Now, one of the things that people, especially in the media, get wrong is that the Legislative Inspector General has authority over other branches of law other than the legislature. So we have 177 legislators in Illinois. We have their employees and staff here in Springfield and back in their home offices throughout the 102 counties. But that still is not a large number of people. In fact, there's an inspector general for all of the agencies in the state. So if there was one of my investigator ethics officers, a former U.S. Assistant U.S. attorney, he at one time was the inspector general for the Department of Transportation. Now, that's 3,000-4,000 employees, a lot more than we have. There's a legislative inspector general for the Secretary of State, another office with thousands of employees. So our jurisdiction, as I said, is limited to the 177 legislators, their staff, and employees. And so the office is in basically its 20th year. And somebody that you also know as well as I did, Tom Homer, former state representative, former state local prosecutor in Fulton County. He actually, an appellate judge, compatriot of mine, third district, he became the first legislative inspector general back after December 9th, 2003. So that gives you at least when it was created and a little bit about our authority. The jurisdiction comes in, and we're the first 20 years later, basically, to have a full-time office in Springfield. That's something that people didn't realize is not only a part-time job, which it still is, but if you came looking for us, you couldn't find us. It's been 420 Stratton Building for 20 years, But there was never anybody in here from 8:30 to 4:30 Monday through Friday. So I thought that's not very good for public relations, people who want to find us, call us, get a hold of us, walk by the door. So I created, when I got the job, an open door policy. So from 8:30 to 4:30, the doors open. I am in the office usually 3 to 4 afternoons a week, but I have an outstanding administrative assistant who came over from the treasurer's office after 20 some years. She knows state government. She knows paper, which is what runs the state government, lots of paper. And she's here to greet people, to take phone calls, and to help navigate the government. Most of our phone calls come from people who are just lost. They're physically lost. They don't know where they're supposed to go in the Stratton building or the Capitol, or they're lost because they have a complaint against some agency of government and somehow they've found our website. So if you go to Illinois General Assembly, you'll go over to the right side, way at the bottom, and you'll find the Legislative Inspector General. Somehow they do. They find that call. And times our calls have nothing to do with our jurisdiction, but we're glad to give them information. So I think Dana will say, your problem with the Cook County Housing Authority, the Inspector General's phone number, their office, she has all of this information. And the people are, thank you, first time anybody helped us. And if it's something that I can do in the afternoon, I personally call them. And they say, thank you. Nobody, I've never talked to anybody in authority. I said, well, it's not because I have authority over you. I just want to help answer your problem. You would be surprised, Robin, how many of them are. I'm a state senator, state representative. I went into the office. And they basically were rude to me and told me to get out. Well, that's not an ethics violation. That's not a legal violation. That's just not really handling your office staff well. By the time I talk to them about their problem and tell them, well, you know, the state representative has nothing to do with your federal student loan. And then we send them to their congressman in their district and say, we hope you'll be treated better there, but that's where to go. So much of what we do is that. But then if we get a rejection, I think my state representative is stealing money. I think he's a crook. Okay. Will you put that in writing and file a complaint with our office by email, or you can pull up the complaint form on the website office, mail it to us. First thing said, oh no, we don't want anybody knowing what we're doing. I said, that's fine. We don't want anybody knowing what we're doing either. We will take it. We will check it. See if we need to investigate it and go from there. In the past, and this is one of the things that the media gets wrong regularly, they said, well, you have to go to the Legislative Ethics Commission, which has 8 members of the General Assembly on it, before you can investigate. That was true for about 18 out of the 19 years before I got here. We don't have to ask anybody. We make our own decisions. Sometimes after a little checking, call them back and say, well, here's why your complaint isn't valid. It doesn't have to do with our authority. It doesn't have to do with the fact that the legislator is a mayor. We actually have 5 mayor legislators, and they immediately wanted to file a complaint that that's wrong because our mayor legislator is taking a position on a bill that we don't like. And we say, Attorney General years ago said, that's okay. You can hold both of those offices. Well, what do we do? I said, well, if you don't like them, vote them out of one or the other or both. You have that right. And it will be secret. They're never going to know you called. They're never going to know that you made a complaint. And nobody in the legislature is going to know, because I'm not going to call them up and say you have a complaint about dual offices. So that's an example of a complaint that we'll file. But in the end, we last year, and this is important, I had one other Crane Chicago business did an article last week. And they said, well, can you tell us what we do? I said, no, we don't tell anybody what we do. We're investigators. But we had 49 filed complaints in the last 12 months. We investigated 14 of them. And then we made a determination that none of them violated the ethics law or any law of the state or federal. And therefore, we didn't refer it. See, there's a belief that we're the prosecutor. We're very much like the grand jury. We investigate, we hear evidence, and if it is valid, we refer it to the state's attorney of the county where it comes from, the Illinois Attorney General. Here is the word that I think is most important right now. The United States Attorney in the Northern District of Illinois. They've been prosecuting people for, everybody knows it well. That's the boys and girls in Chicago in the Dirksen building who have lots of attorneys, lots of money, a 10-year statute of limitations. We're not the prosecutor. We know where to send it if it's important. They have a 10-year statute of limitations, and if you look at what's been in the newspaper, they have the ability to do wiretaps. They have the ability to have people wear wires, and they have a 10-year statute of limitations, and they can investigate you for a long time, which is why I think things have been rather quiet in Springfield the last year.
So I notice on your website that you've got regular, it looks like regular reports you issue. How often do those come out, and are those just kind of a recap of all the actions you've taken and
Yes.
Over the previous amount of time?
We meet once a month with the Legislative Inspector Ethics Commission. They used to control whether we could do investigations or not. They can't now. All we tell them is what we've done, not who it involved, not the issue. So they will know in the course of a year, 49 complaints filed. We're not going to take a phone call. We're not going to go look out into the world, just like a grand jury only investigates what comes to them. We only investigate what comes to us. So somebody says, well, why don't you take care of so-and-so? And I say, well, why don't you file a written complaint? It'll be confidential. So we report to them each month, but they do not know. We just say we investigated a legislator. We don't even tell them House or Senate. This is the issue. This is what we did. And we keep confidence. That's a monthly meeting. There are quarterly reports that are filed. They're on the website. And they're going to see that in the period of time I've been here, a little over a year, there has not been a referral to a prosecutor, state's attorney, attorney general of Illinois, or the Northern District, Central or Southern District, U.S. attorneys. Again, I think it's a quiet year because of the Northern District of Illinois, all the cases that have been in the news, but we're not the prosecutor.
Listening to Heartland Politics on WVIK Quad Cities NPR. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and my guest today on Heartland Politics is former federal and state judge Mike McCuskey, who is the recently appointed and approved Legislative Inspector General. Today, and so far on today's show, he's been talking a little bit about what the agency is, the process, what their jurisdiction is, who they oversee, who they don't oversee, and just providing some basic facts on this very important office. I wanted to ask, because our listeners, some of them, knowing the problems in Springfield, knowing the problems we've had with corruption, the case going on right now, the ComEd case involving former Speaker Mike Madigan indirectly, who appointed you, and Who approved you? How did that process work? I asked that for this reason, because people are worried about a partisan angle here, and I want you to share, I guess, the process involved in you becoming legislative inspector general.
Well, interestingly enough, I had retired from the judiciary after 32 years, 16 as a state circuit appellate, 16 as a federal. Half of that, I was a chief federal judge, and there's only 94 of those on any given day in the entire United States. And COVID hit, and I became rather bored. Carol Pope was my predecessor. You get a five-year term. She retired before the 5 years, and it was extended several times. And the political parties, through the Legislative Ethics Commission, deadlocked. Four Democrats, four Republicans. And the office at one time was even vacant for 3.5 years because they couldn't agree. Well, I found out about it, and I thought, you know what? And my wife wanted, why don't you get out of the house and do something again? And I was bored, so I put my name in. But it became a political fight in February of a year ago, who would take over. And so in the Senate, every Republican voted against me but one. And in the House, Jim Durkin, who actually knows me personally and knew that his brother Tom was a federal judge who knew me. In the House, the Republicans voted present. Five voted for me, and nobody voted against me. So because the Democrats have a majority, I took the job. However, I was only getting the part of Carol's 5 years. Isn't that interesting? Governor gets 5 years, 4 years. State senators get 4 years, 2 years for reps. And I figured that I could navigate the political highway just like I did in the United States Senate. So the Illinois senators nominated a person who could not get through the Republican Senate. It was 59 Republicans back in Bill Clinton's second term. Monica Lewinsky was on everybody's table. And when I went to D.C., Jeff Sessions and John Ashcroft were outside before I was interviewed by the Justice Department saying, no more Clinton judges. Well, when my resume went to the Senate, for some reason, Jeff Sessions liked it. John Ashcroft liked it. Strom Thurmond liked it. And Orrin Hatch was running the judiciary, just like Dick Durbin does today, and he liked it, and I got a unanimous vote out of the Republican Judiciary Committee and went to the floor and got 58 out of 59 Republican votes. Well, you only need 50, but I got all the Democrat votes, so I got a 98-1, and one wasn't present. So I knew that I'd already gone through one situation with Republicans looking at me as nonpartisan. So in the year and several months that I had, I determined that I would show the Republicans I was nonpartisan. And also the Democrats that I wasn't a Republican or Democrat. I cannot contribute to political events, which my wife said, that's a lot of money. Can't go to them anymore. Can't go over there to Macomb or Monmouth or places, you know. So it keeps me absolutely nonpartisan, which I like. And so this year I received all, it's sort of like the feds again, I received all of the Republican votes but one, all of the Democrat votes. So the vote in the House was 116-1, and the vote in the Senate was 56-0. So I guess becoming a federal judge, there's one person didn't like me. Becoming the legislative inspector general for the next 5 years, one person didn't like me. But you know, when I ran for class president in high school, I know there were a lot of people who didn't like me. So I'm better off now than I was in high school.
Just to clarify, how does the appointment, I mean, who appointed you? You said a group of senators. I mean, how does that work?
In the United States Senate, you have to be nominated by your state senator. And I did. I went to all four leaders, met personally with the Republicans, Democrats in the House, the leaders. You have to be nominated by one of the leaders, and in this case, the Speaker and the President of the Senate nominated me. Then the Senate voted first. The House voted second, but interestingly enough, you need the approval to be a federal judge of the President. And to be a state judge, you need the approval of the voters. I don't need the approval of the governor. So as people say, oh, the legislation's going to the governor's office to sign or veto. No, it's over. When the legislators voted, they sign it. The four leaders who said they would did. And my job is over. For the next 5 years, I will be here till June 30, 2028, a longer term than anybody in the Capitol has.
So I have a question, and I feel like I'm going to ask this on behalf of many of our listeners who, being a resident of Illinois, sometimes the stories you read, it's embarrassing. I have relatives in New Jersey, and they hear I'm from Illinois, and they're like, "Yeah, I mean, we got New Jersey looking down on us because of the history of corruption and ethical problems in this state." We just had an example in this legislative session of a state senator just got out of jail and was hired to do lobbying. Do you feel any need, I guess, to perhaps or it's probably not within your job scope, but do you feel any sense that you maybe advise on further ethical reforms to get Illinois standards raised? I mean, is that something you think about, or you're just going to stay away from that?
Well, the interesting thing is, in August, I'll spend a week at a National Legislative Inspector General's conference, and I'll have a chance to find out what they call it, revolving door, what the revolving door rules are in the other states. The accusation has been we have very lax rules. Of course, the rules have to be passed on by the legislature. One of the complaints I get is my state representative's not there. It's a part-time job. So the pay isn't a lawyer would give up his law license to go do full-time, and it's part-time. But lobbyists more money than legislators. So it's an attractive job to get out of the legislature and become a lobbyist. The question is, how long is a proper cooling off period? Is it 6 months? Is it a year? Is it 2 years? So I'm actually going to go find out what you might say the national rules are, and then at least give that to the leaders of what other states have. Are we the same as others, or are we way behind? But let me tell you one thing about other states. Same time, Republicans in Texas have a supermajority, and they don't like their attorney general, who's also a Republican, and they're getting ready to throw him out on his ear. We haven't had that here since Rod Blagojevich. So there's all kinds of problems in other states, but our news media focuses on Illinois. Every day we get to hear somebody is shot, as if no one gets shot anywhere else, and that we think we're the shooting capital of the world. We're not.
Well, in this case, this was unique in having somebody actually in jail. It wasn't just lobbying. It was somebody just out of jail and was lobbying like within a month or two.
But that doesn't stop the clock from running. I think he was in prison for 6 months. So, and we've got here, this is one of the questions. You get a special right to leave during your term. Well, you leave because you want to be a lobbyist, or you leave because you want to go to prison because you've been sent there. When does the clock start running? And we had, without a lot of coverage, in Springfield, Illinois, one legislator leave the day before the term was up, and then you get a special clock. Now, the term here was up. You could, because of the veto session, you could vote in December the day before your term was up. So in that case, you run a special clock by leaving the day before your term's up, even after you vote legislation. And then you leave and you start a new clock and a new job. I'm going to look into that, and I'm going to make a recommendation based on the national average. So we should be the same or better than everybody else.
So you do plan to make recommendations on ethical laws, changes in ethical laws.
Right. But you know what, people? One, we're a prosecutor. We're not. And two, I can change the law. That would be wonderful, but I don't think anybody, including the governor, has the opportunity to just change laws with a sweep of the hand. Not even the president or the speaker of the House seem to be able to do that with that problem we have this week.
Well, we've run out of time, Mike. I would like, just once again, would you provide your website address for our listeners in case they're curious, they want to learn more, or perhaps they want to see about perhaps filing some charge?
Well, there's two ways to do it. If you can remember, Illinois Legislative Inspector General. Google that and it'll go immediately to my website. And you'll actually get to see my face and hear a 5-minute speech there and some other things. The second way is just to go to Illinois General Assembly. And that'll get you to their website. And on the side at the bottom, click, and you'll come to Illinois Legislative Inspector General. Either way, easy for anybody that has a computer, Google it, it'll work.
All right.
And you can get your complaint right there.
Legislative Inspector General Mike McCuskey's been our guest today on Heartland Politics. Mike, thank you so much for taking the time.
Always willing to help educate people.
You're listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR.